Welcome, fellow biblical explorer. In our last study together, we looked at the doxology, the end of Paul's prayer, and that's found at the end of chapter 3 of Ephesians. We saw that Paul wanted his readers to get the idea that God was an all-powerful God. We looked at the benediction in outline form, and this is what we saw. Now unto him that is able to do all, above all, abundantly above all, exceedingly abundantly above all, and all because of the riches of his grace. The riches of God's grace are available to everyone who seeks them. All we have to do is ask. In his doxology, Paul wanted to use every word he could muster to tell of the ever-abundant power of God. Now unto him that is able to do all, above all, abundantly above all, exceedingly abundantly above all we have to do to get our hands on our wealth in Christ is to ask. Ye have not because you ask not. I remember as a very young boy having the honor and opportunity to sing a duet with Brigadier Joseph Korbel, the author of the book In My Enemy's Camp, where he tells the story of being imprisoned in the death camps in Germany. We sang in German the chorus, he's able, I know he's able. And in German it says, kann alles, kann alles. Ich weiß, kann alles. He can all. Now unto him that is able to do all, abundantly above all, exceedingly abundantly above all, kann alles. Hallelujah! What a great God we serve. Continuing in our study of the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, we're now starting chapter 4, and we're going to be looking for a little bit at chapter 4, verses 1 to verse 16. So if you have your Bibles ready, let's read it together. I'm reading from the New International Bible, and it's entitled Unity and Maturity in the Body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, starting to read at verse 1, it says this, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, and be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so the whole body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Paul is giving us some very important teaching here. At the very outset of this study in Ephesians, we saw that the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians was directed at our heavenly calling. They were chapters that focused upon doctrine, our heritage in Christ, we in Christ, the work of God, and our heavenly standing. As we strive forward to the next three chapters, we see that these chapters pertain to the practical side of things. Where chapters 1 through 3 looked at our heavenly calling, chapters 4 through 6 deal with our earthly conduct. Now, the key word for the first part of this book, chapters 1 through 3, is wealth. The key word for the second part of the book, chapters 4 through 6, is walk. Look at the outline for this walk. Well, our wealth, called by grace to belong to His body in chapter 1, focuses now on our walk. You got to walk worthy of your calling in the unity of the body. And that's chapters 4, 1 to 16. We just read that. Looking back to chapter 2, we found that we were raised from the dead, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. But now we are to put off the grave clothes, chapters 4, 17 to 5, 17, and walk in purity. And back in chapter 2, verses 11 to 22, we were reconciled. And because of that, now we are to walk in harmony, chapter 5, verses 18 to chapter 6, verse 9. And we look back to chapter 3 and we see Christ's victory over Satan in the great mystery. And now, because of that, we are to walk in victory. Chapter 6, verses 10 to 24. Now, before we dive right in, let's look for a moment at the first few words of this chapter. Words like therefore and beseech in the King James. And when I see the word therefore, I always look to see what it's there for. In view of the first three chapters, Paul is now advising us on how we should act. The word therefore indicates that Paul is basing his exhortations to duty and how to walk the talk on the doctrine that has been taught in the first three chapters of Ephesians. Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, in view of God's mercy to offer yourselves, the word beseech gives the idea that God is urging us to follow and obey Him. The Old Testament way was that you followed and obeyed God and then He blessed you. But here we see that God has already blessed us out of the riches of His grace, hallelujah, but now He's urging us to follow and obey Him in response. God in love urges us to live for His glory. He does not say, as He did to the Old Testament Jews, "If you obey me, I'll bless you." Rather, He says, "I have already blessed you. Now, in response to my love and grace, obey me and follow me." He has given us a marvelous calling in Christ, and now it's our job to live up to that calling. The main idea in the fourth chapter is one of unity. The first 16 verses deals with the unity of believers in Christ. Basically, this is the practical application of the doctrine taught in the first three chapters. God is building a body, a temple. He has reconciled the Jews together with the Gentiles to Himself in Christ, and the unity of all believers in Christ is already a reality. Our responsibility is to guard, protect, and preserve that unity, all because of the riches of His grace.